Good to have each one of you here this evening. I hope that each night that you're blessed, and I hope that you already have been this evening. If you have not, then I suspect probably you need to pray a little harder. I thought as they were singing the first song, "He took a beggar and made him a king," that is so true of what I feel in my own heart and know about my own life, that the Lord was able to take someone like me. The worst of the worst, the poorest of the poor, and save my soul without me having probably a nickel in my pocket, if you really want to know the truth. And that's why I can stand and preach without any hesitation that you cannot buy salvation. I don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. That is not what determines whether or not the Lord will save you. And so I'm so thankful this evening that I am an heir of the most wonderful thing there is in this life, and that one of these days I'll be able to claim that which the Lord has given to me so many years ago. Yeah, looking forward to that. Can't be much longer. I was telling one of the fellows down at the cemetery yesterday, we were talking a little bit, and I said, you know, sometimes these salespeople are trying to tell me about a 10-year warranty, and I just kind of laugh at them and say, you better look again, you know. I'm probably not going to need that 10-year warranty. I don't know. Yeah, none of us know that. I might not need a day warranty as far as that goes. But again, I'm so thankful. Thank you, ladies, for the beautiful songs, beautifully done. I'm going to use a couple of different scriptures tonight. And if I have a thought that I would want you to remember this evening, and I would say this especially to people who are lost, what have you found wrong with the Lord? What have you found wrong with Him? Now, the truth of the matter is, you obviously have found something wrong with Him because you rejected Him, you've denied Him, you've not followed His leadership. You've not believed Him to the saving of your soul. So apparently, there is something wrong with Him. But I'm here to tell you this evening, there is nothing wrong with the Lord. The wrong is not in Him. The wrong is in us. He is perfect. He always has been, and He always will be. I said the other evening, His plan of salvation is a perfect plan, and it is. It does not need any change to it. It does not need me to try to make it any different than what it is. We just need to be able to accept that it is. But people have always found things wrong with the Lord. At least they try to, and they believe they have. And if you think that I'm wrong about that, I want you to listen to what the Word of the Lord says. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt?" How long are you going to keep us in doubt? Effectively is what they're saying. "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Why do you want to just continue to keep us in doubt? Why don't you just come right out and tell us? Now, the Jews are the ones who are asking this, but I want to tell you that there are other occasions in the Word of the Lord where that His apostles came to Him and said to Him, "Tell us plainly." You know, don't leave us having to try to figure this out ourselves. Don't not answer our questions direct. And what they were saying was, tell us, when are these things going to happen? I always like to say to lost people, you know, the difficult thing that you have, probably one of the most difficult things, is to believe that the Lord can save you right now. Now. Many of them say, well, I know the Lord can save. I believe He can save, and I believe He can save me. They just don't know when He's going to do it. They can't bring it down to that it could be right now. But that's what it comes down to, is that you got to bring that down to right now. Now, we as God's children, many times, we wish the Lord would just make everything so clear to us that we wouldn't have to waste a lot of time in having to study His Word or listen to preachers preach or teachers teach, and that God would just make it so plain to us that once we knew it, that'd be all there was to it. Let me tell you something this evening. God does give us the answers. God does have the Word that He wants us to read and to study. And He has told us. There shouldn't have been any doubt in these Jews' mind as to whether or not He was the Christ or not. Obviously, they had seen Him out here. They had watched Him as He had performed all the miracles. He had never once denied that He was the Christ. But still, they said to Him, Why don't you just tell us plainly? Now, I want you to listen to what He says. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus said, I've already told you, and you didn't believe me. Last night, I preached as best I could on the sin of unbelief. And that is a sin that is just prevalent as can be. And it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for people to be in a position of not believing. We are a skeptical people today. We want everything to be proved to us in black and white. There are some things that cannot be done that way. Some of you are wanting the Lord to just prove to you on your terms that He has saved you. Or that you want some great sign to take place to prove that. God doesn't have to prove Himself to anyone for any reason. God has always been God. The problem is that we just cannot accept that fact many times. And we want Him to do something on our terms to satisfy us. That's why there are so many isms and schisms in the world today. We have so many people who've just decided, you know, it's going to be my way or no way. And that's why that we've got so many different plans out here as to how people can be saved. And it's confused so many people, and many people have been deceived. Jesus, one of the first things He said, be not deceived. Now, that wasn't the first thing He said. But let me back off of that. That isn't, He didn't even say that. That's the Apostle Paul writing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul wrote and said. Jesus, though, as He was speaking to the disciples, said, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. There's a lot of deception in the world today. And Satan is the author of the deception. Satan is always wanting to deceive people into believing a lie. And he does a good job of it. It's a lot easier for most people to believe a lie than it is for them to believe the truth. Because you can just dress that lie up any way you want to and make it sound good. But the truth sometimes is not that easy. Jesus, even as He spoke to His disciples and to His followers on one occasion, He was speaking unto them as to what they needed to do. And the Bible says that many of them, most of them, turned and went away because of His hard saying. And He turned to His disciples and said, will you also go away? Are you going to go away too? The Apostle Peter gave one of those answers that he so often was known for, only this time he was right. He said, to whom shall we go? Who shall we go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now, Jesus said to these Jews who came here and said, you know, tell us plainly. He said, but he said, I told you and you didn't believe it. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Jesus had been talking to them about the sheep. Now, I want you to listen to what he says. My sheep hear my voice. I say this quite often here. I say this to this church, to this people, and I say it with everything there is about me this evening, that God's children do know His voice. You who are lost, you know, you're still alienated from Him. You're not supposed to know those things, but God's people know His voice. I get a little alarmed sometimes at how often we like to excuse ourselves by saying, well, I'm not sure whether that's the Lord or not. We do know whether it's the Lord. Yes. We just sometimes choose not to want to know. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Let me tell you something. Right there is another proof in the Word of God that nobody is ever going to be saved and then go to hell. Not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and I know them. When those people who are standing at the white throne judgment hear the final decree made upon them, it will be, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Do you think God's going to lie? What have you found wrong with Him? What's wrong with God? Nothing. The problem's not with God. The problem is with you. It's with me. If I think there's something amiss here. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Yeah. He said, my sheep follow me. Now, sometimes, to you who are lost, let me say this. Too many times, you're looking at some stray sheep. You're looking at some that have not been paying attention. And they've strayed away. They're not listening to what the Lord is saying to them. And that's the first one you're going to see. And you'll say, aha. Let me tell you something. You never want to look at the sheep. You want to look at the shepherd. You don't want to look at the imperfect. You want to look at the perfect. You don't want to look at the one that's got as many faults or maybe more faults than you do. You want to look to the one that has no faults. Pilate even said, I find no fault in him. That comes from a pretty important man, and that's a pretty important statement for him to have made. I find no fault in him. You can find all the faults you want to in me, but when you're looking at me, you're looking at the wrong one. When you're looking at any other but God's children, you're looking at the wrong one. You need to be looking at the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep, I know them. They know my voice and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's good Baptist doctrine right here. It's good doctrine anywhere, whether it's Baptist or not. It's the word of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I don't have to worry tonight about whether I'm going to stay one of God's children. I was visiting with some ladies here last week, I guess it was. I had a meeting with him here at the church, and we were talking about our names, our last names. And I said, you know what? I said, all of my life, I've always, and y'all have heard me say this, some of you, maybe not. But all my life, I've said, people say to me, now, is your name Parson or Parsons? Is there an S on the end of it? No. We don't have no S on the end of our name. It's Parson. It's singular. Well, staying here just a few years ago, I had the misfortune of having to order a copy of my birth certificate. And guess what? I'm not related to that old boy sitting back there. I'm a Parsons. My name has the S on the end of it. Somebody said, oh, what's Social Security going to do? I don't know what they're going to do. They're not going to do anything, I guess. They haven't done anything but all my life, you know. But here's my point this evening. Whether it's got the S or not, my name, you know, could be changed 100 times, but I'm still going to be Victor and Helen Parsons' son. You can call me anything you want to. I can change my name 100 times, but I cannot change the fact that my mother bore me, that I was born of her, and that I am the son of Victor and Helen Parsons, any more than I can change the fact that when the Lord saved me and I became one of His children, there is nothing that can change that. Nobody. Satan himself can't do it. No, He gave unto me eternal life. I preached down in Tennessee when I was down there. Some of you probably have watched it. I don't know whether you have or not. I never looked to see how many people watched it, but it doesn't matter. But I was preaching on the white throne judgment, and I made the statement, and I said, you know, there aren't going to be any saved people there. And I had some eyebrows raised. Probably get a few raised here tonight when I say that again, because some of you believe that. Oh yeah, going to all be there at the great white throne judgment. No, you're not. The Bible very clearly says the ones who are going to be there are the dead. If you're a child of God, you're not dead. You're alive. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what you that are lost, you know, that's what's going to happen when God saves your soul. Bart mentioned here last night, you know, that it was peace in his heart. That's exactly the first thing that's going to happen when God saves your soul, is that you'll have peace in your heart. And then joy comes. But part of that whole thing is that you're going to be given eternal life. It's forever and ever. You're going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you are alive forevermore, according to the Word of God. Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to, you know. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Now, some people are going to die. Well, we're all going to die twice if you really want to get down to it. Yeah. I had to die to the old man of sin. Yeah, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I had to die, spiritually speaking, to be born again, to have that new life. But once I was given that life, I'm alive forevermore. You will be too when the Lord saves your soul. I guarantee you that by the word of the Lord. Now, I'm getting away from my text here. Haven't even got over the second half yet, and I'm over halfway through, over by the clock. Well, I'm going to be halfway through, better than halfway through anyway. There is not going to be anyone who's alive there. That's the dead. That's the judgment of the dead. We who are alive, you know. Well, let me back up, because I was getting through this here. Y'all got a little excited about you going to die twice. Well, you are. You die to the old man of sin, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and then you're going to die again naturally one of these days. And I don't care whether or not you're here when the rapture comes or not. If you're here when the rapture comes, you're still going to have an instant death whenever it takes place. It'll be faster than the bat of an eye, but it'll happen, and you've got to die. That's just as sure as the word of the Lord is. Now then, for those who have only died the natural death and have not died that spiritual death yet, they will die. The second death will be whenever that they hear that pronouncement upon them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you, into everlasting damnation. That is the second death. That's the one you certainly don't want. Jesus said to these people who were here, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, listen, which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Uh-oh, now he's in trouble. What have you found wrong with the Lord? These people have got the answer right now. They found out what's wrong with him. He's claiming to be as the Father. He's claiming to be as God. Well, he had a right to claim that. He was God. He's God in the flesh. He's God the Son. He's God, the second part of the Trinity. And I'll tell you this evening, he had every right to say, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. I've showed you lots of things. You've seen me do lots of things. Now listen to what he said. Here was where my text came from. For which of those works do ye stone me now? What have you found wrong? Which one of them are you going to kill me for? Which one of the works that I've done, and you've seen me do many of them out here, which of them are you ready to stone me for now? No. It wasn't the works that he had done they wanted to stone him for. They heard him say he and the Father were one, and they couldn't stand that. I want to skip back over. Old Testament. Got to get both of them in here. Jeremiah, second chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Now, this was always Jeremiah's text. He started off every sermon with, thus saith the Lord. Every preacher, if we can do that, every time that we started, if we'd say, this is what the word of the Lord says, we'd be a lot better off. You all would be a lot better off. Lost people would be a lot better off. If we were preaching and saying, this is what the Lord says. Not what I think as a preacher, not what all I've learned, or what all I've studied, and what all I know. Bill and I ran into a fellow the other day. He was studying the Hebrew, and he said, wasn't it the Hebrew what he told us? He was studying the Hebrew. Well, I think that's commendable. And anybody who can do it. But my experience has been with most of these people who studied all these original languages, all they want to do is talk about how smart they are and what they know about it and how dumb we are that we don't understand it in the original language. And that because we don't know it, that's the reason that probably we're so misinformed. Well, that just kind of aggravates me a little bit. Because I serve a God that's able to open up through the Spirit of the Lord, His Word, and He left it plain enough in the English language that I can understand it. Now, granted, there are a lot of these and thous and thuses in there. I was thinking as we were singing a while ago, we sang, blessed be the time, blessed, blessed. How many times do you say, blessed you? No, we say, blessed. But the song, and you listen to it, and you look at the music, there are some of the notes in there that you almost have to say it that way. Now, you can say blessed. Yeah, try it sometime, you musicians. I guarantee you can do it. You can say blessed. But we say, blessed be the name. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And I say that a lot of times when I'm preaching. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his lot delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Blessed. Well, the Bible says blessed. There's some other words that I misuse too. But let me tell you something. Though I don't understand the Hebrew, I don't understand the Greek, there's enough right here that to put in the original King James that I've never been able to get all of that to where I've mastered it. Let me tell you something this evening. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. That's what needs to be preached. That's what you need to hear that are lost. What the Lord says, not what Kent says, or not what the church says, or not what this one believes or that one believes. You need to know what the word of the Lord says. You need to know what God is saying to you. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me? Have walked after vanity and have become vain. Lord says, what have your fathers found wrong with me? What caused them to forsake me? What did I do wrong that they've left me and they followed after vanity and become vain? Now think about that for a little bit. What causes us, whenever that we as God's people, we know better, we know the voice of the Lord, we know the word of the Lord, we know the spirit of the Lord, and yet we take off over here on our own little tangents every once in a while. What did we find wrong with the Lord? Why did we decide we didn't need to serve Him? We didn't need Him nearly as much as maybe we should. What did we find wrong with Him? I'd ask his lost people the same thing. Have you found something wrong with the Lord that you don't think you want him in your heart or your life? Anything wrong with him? I'm not asking you what you found wrong with me. That's pretty easy. What have you found wrong with the Lord? The Lord said, what have your fathers found wrong with me that they've gone far from me, followed after vanity, and have become vain? Now listen. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelleth? You know, why aren't you all asking about him anymore? You don't need him? Don't want him? Don't care what he's done for you in the past? What'd you find wrong with him? That's what the old prophet's saying to these people. Let me tell you something. I've never found anything wrong with him. The wrong's been with me. Yeah, I'm the one who got off track. I'm the one who went away. Let's sing a song. He was there all the time. Yeah. He's never left us nor never forsaken us. We're the one who gets away from him. You who are lost, let me tell you this evening, you're never going to find anybody that's any better than the Lord. Matter of fact, you'll never find anybody as good as the Lord. So don't ever write him off. Don't ever think for a second that you don't need him, because you do. Now, I'm going to finish. I'm not going to read the rest of the scripture here. I want you as God's people, you go home and you read it. I read out of the second chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The first one I was reading to you is out of the book of John, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter? Yeah. 10th chapter of the book of John. So that's your homework. Now, the Lord said to these people, so, you not only have not found any wrong with me, you've gone away from me, but you've not been interested enough to find out how to get back to me. And then he said, you've done two more things. The first thing you did, as you forsook me, you went after other gods. In another one of the writings of the word of the Lord says this, he says, you know, in your time of trouble, writing to the children of Israel, he said, in your time of trouble, he said, I tell you what you do. Don't come calling on me. Don't come saying, hey, Lord, I'm in trouble now, I need you. You call on those gods that you've been serving. Let them deliver you. Yeah. Well, some people say, well, surely the Lord doesn't say that. I guarantee you does. I don't know the chapter and verse right offhand, but if you don't believe what I'm telling you, I'll find it before we leave here tonight. It's not hard to find. Well, that's what he told them. He said, in your time of trouble, You're going to say, oh, Lord, help me. Boy, let me tell you, have I seen that in people's lives? Yeah, that's whenever they start getting right with the Lord, whenever they've got trouble. They didn't need Him before. Let me tell you something. You are lost. You may think you don't need Him. There's going to come a time when you will, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to cry and you're going to beg, and it's going to be too late. Too late. Somebody said, oh, I believe as long as they're alive and they've got breath, they can be saved. I'm not going to deny that, but I'm not going to guarantee you that's right either. I'll tell you when you can be saved. The only time a person can be saved is when God is dealing with them and when the Holy Spirit is directing them. You just don't make up your mind when you're going to do some of these things, folks. We're missing the boat again. And some people are going to wait until it's too late. He said, the second thing that you've done then, he said, you not only forsaken me, but then you went out here and you hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And that, if that doesn't typify our people today, I don't know what does. They've gone out here and they've come up with every concoction and idea of what they call worshiping the Lord that you can imagine. And you can just about make anything you want to today, worshiping the Lord. Well, you know, God's always had a pretty plain plan, and it's always been pretty straight and narrow. And I don't think He's changed it. But He said, you've hewn out broken cisterns that can hold no water. You've gone two things. What did you find wrong with the Lord? What did you find wrong with me, He said. People, let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with the Lord. If there's any wrong, it's with me.